sometimes having a plan that's too specific can just lead you to disappointment. Yeah, I did not think that I would be where I am right now, but I'm really, really happy.
Welcome to this episode of HispaCast, the official podcast series of the Department of Hispanic Studies at the College of Charleston. I'm Dr. Mark Del Mastro, and I'm the chair of the Department of Hispanic Studies, and I'm here with guest Melanie Keller, who is a graduate of the College of Charleston in 2010 with a BA in Spanish and a double minor in Linguistics and Women's and Gender Studies. She had quite a busy life after graduation. She worked as a bilingual analyst for a pension fund. Then in 2012, she began a career as a social worker and advocate at the Sexual Assault Spouse Abuse Resource Center Safe House. Then she became a bilingual call specialist for the National Human Trafficking Resource Center Hotline. In 2015, she became an au pair in Austria. Then she enrolled at the University of Munich in Germany for an MA in English Studies. Now she's a research assistant at the same university's English Linguistics Department, and she began her doctoral studies there as well.
A high school friend of mine told me about the College of Charleston. She wanted to study architecture, and for obvious reasons, Charleston was a place on her list. And my dad and I, we came with her to visit. I spent a weekend here. We did a college tour and everything. I honestly did not really like it. My mom's from Korea. My dad was born and raised in the US, but his family's from Austria and Germany. And I know that I am racially ambiguous, and I come from Baltimore, and Baltimore and DC are pretty diverse. And I grew up around a lot of different kinds of cultures and people. And coming here, I just could really feel the racial tension when I was walking around. I mean, not campus particularly, but downtown. And I wasn't sure if I would fit in or if I could be happy here. I was actually planning on going to Occidental College in LA, but my dad informed me he had already enrolled me at College of Charleston.
Wow.
So I was pretty upset. So I ended up coming here, and I'm really glad that I did, specifically because the professors that I had were really encouraging, and I could tell that they really cared about what research they did. They cared about the students' progress, and they put in a lot of time and effort and were really open and welcoming, and I really, really appreciated that. So what I really wanted was good academics, and that's what College of Charleston has.
Clearly, there were some very special circumstances that dictated the decision for you to attend the College of Charleston. Did you have more of a deliberate say when you decided to major in Spanish, and how did that decision come about?
Yes. Once my parents made the decision for me to go to school where I went to school, everything else was up to me, thankfully. I always wanted to major in Spanish or in linguistics, actually, but it's offered as a minor here, so Spanish was the next obvious choice for me. I studied Spanish throughout high school and French as well, and I had taken an AP test, I think two, a language and literature AP tests, so I came in with a few of those credits already, and I knew that I would enjoy studying Spanish further, and if I did it, I would have more flexibility in my elected courses because some of those requirements I had already fulfilled.
How about the Women and Gender Studies minor? How did that come about?
Yeah, that's interesting too. I'm really glad that I did that as a double minor, but I kind of stumbled into it as well. a friend of mine at the time told me about living at the Women's and Gender Studies house on campus, if it's still there. I mean, the house is still there, but I don't know if the department still has this house where they house major and minor students. And she said, oh yeah, it's like right on Bull Street, and it's in the middle of campus, and it's pretty inexpensive, and it's nice, and it's not like super crowded, like, I don't know, College Lodge or whatever. So I was like, okay, yeah, I'll do that. Do I have to major in gender studies? And she was like, no, you just have to take one or two classes. So I applied to live in the dorm, and I took a 101 class and then one other class. And I really opened up my perspectives to, I mean, it really put a name to things that I had experienced, things that I had been feeling surrounding sexual harassment or, the socialization of boys and girls from the time that we're super small. And really, I took an honors college course about third wave feminism with Allison Piepmeier. And that also really, really changed the way I think about a lot of things.
And as you know, the College of Charleston has a very proud record of study abroad for its students. Did you take advantage of that experience when you were an undergrad? Because, of course, you're studying abroad now as a graduate student.
Yes. Yes, I would say that I took advantage of the study abroad offered here to the fullest. Because I had all of these credits, AP credits, and some of the general education requirements and my major requirements were fulfilled, I was lucky enough to have more space and more room to choose the classes that I wanted to take. And that allowed me to study abroad for 3 semesters.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tell us about those places and those experiences.
I first went to the University of Nottingham in England, and then the next semester, right after that, I went to Linz, Austria. And
you've had a luxury of studying abroad that a lot of students don't. And often they'll go abroad once. Every once in a while we'll see students go abroad twice, but 3 times is quite an opportunity that you had. And so this leads me to my next question. How has this shaped your study abroad experiences? How has it shaped your worldview?
How did study abroad shape my worldview? Wow. I guess, like, I could write a whole book about that. But so the third study abroad semester that I was lucky enough to do was in Chile, finally a Spanish-speaking country. Really, really monumental thing that I learned there was, and I had gotten this also in Europe, but much more so in South America, was how the rest of the world views the U.S. And in Latin America, we do not look good. And I think that was really important to learn because history is told by the victor, but also, you're not getting the full story depending on who is doing the telling, regardless. And in Latin America, I mean, I had no idea about the CIA's involvement in all of these military coups in Argentina, in Chile. That was really mind-blowing.
What other aspects of the academic experience, the College of Charleston experience back here on campus, really had a positive impact on you and your subsequent pursuits after graduation?
Well, I would really encourage anybody who is interested to apply for the Honors College because I think I really, really enjoyed and was challenged by their classes back in my day. I assume it's the same, but Western Civ was the big scary monster for second year Honors College students. And, we were all nervous, but I really liked it. I loved the style where there was like a different professor teaching every week, different approaches to the same topics. And I liked that they expected a lot from us because I think we all delivered in the end and did much more reading and writing than we thought we really could in one freaking week.
Since you graduated in 2010, you have a real impressive record of different activities and positions. Is there any particular role that you've had that stands out among the others as the most valuable for your professional and personal development?
Yeah, I guess when I made the switch to doing social work, my first job in the safe house shelter, I would call it a woman shelter, but we also had some men housed in a different facility too. So just people fleeing intimate partner violence. That really changed me. I learned a lot about my own limits professionally because, yes, social work is not the highest paid profession in the U.S., of course. And I mean, that was an entry level position. So I was making $13.50 an hour. Yep. Ouch. and that was with like a 50 cent overnight differential because I was working overnights.
Wow.
And the work was really hard. I mean, you listen to these stories, you have to try and bring some kind of balance or, peace or something, or peace of mind at least, to these people who have just been in violent situations and are dealing with all of that trauma. And I think the expectations for me and my coworkers at that time were incredibly high, especially for the pay. And that's where I really learned what I have to offer, how I should offer it to my employer, when to say no, and how to look out for those signs that I'm really getting exhausted, burnt out, etc.
Now you're on doing your doctoral studies in English linguistics at the University of Munich in Germany. That's quite an evolution, looking at everything that you've done since 2010. How did you get here?
How I got here is a strange trajectory. But after doing social work, which I really enjoyed, and honestly, the women's and gender studies background really pushed me into that realm. And since I did use my Spanish in a lot of that work, I mean, it was like a nice blend of my studies. So my dad has relatives in Austria, and I met them when I did my study abroad. So I packed up my cat and my stuff, I quit my jobs, and I decided to take a year off and live in Austria.
It's quite a decision.
Yeah, it was crazy. So once I was there, I always wanted to get my master's and eventually do a PhD because I just really have always loved school, been a huge nerd. Love languages, love linguistics, want to see how languages work and in different contexts and how they change, and applied to the University of Munich to do English studies, which has three different tracks, a literature, linguistics, and then a teaching English as a foreign language track. I did the linguistic track, of course, and there I met my professor who I work for now, and she scooped me up as a research assistant. And and then I found a really great thesis topic for my master's, and then I'm expanding upon it for my doctoral project.
Kiss the Cast is produced by Dr. Michael Eberhold of the Teaching and Learning Team and directed by Dr. Mark Del Mastro, Professor and Chair of the Hispanic Studies Program here at the College of Charleston.